Welcome to the Stranded Podcast. Our desire is to help you not be stranded. When you navigate life, you have many decisions you need to make to set yourself up for the best life possible. We want to help you make every decision by looking through the lens of the Word of God. So each episode here is going to help you not be stranded to navigate your life. What is up, podcast people? What a great day to be alive here, Pod Squad, in the house. We got Kayla with us today. Kayla, how you feeling today?
I'm a little sleepy, but it's okay.
You're a little sleepy, but it is okay. Do you know why it's okay? Because Michigan State got the first dub in March Madness 2024, moving on to the next round. Shout out to Go Spartans. We got a big, tough matchup this Saturday against UNC, but this podcast is not going to air until next week. So next week we'll know if we're either going to be happy or sad.
They're not a North Carolina team playing?
There's UNC, the Tar Heels.
Is that what NC you watched State. Today?
I watched Michigan State and Mississippi.
But they were here?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about it later.
Okay,
we'll talk I'm confused.
Later. That's okay. Shout out to March Madness taking place. Me and my dad we just drove up to the Spectrum Center. Got there at like 12:15 for tee off. Got back here at 2:15. It is super weird watching a basketball game in the middle of the afternoon. Like, the whole entire stadium was just really dark, or court. I guess, would you call it a stadium or a dome, a basketball stadium?
I am not
stadium?
The one to ask. You call it whatever you want.
Well, because you have a football stadium. I don't know. You call it a basketball center? It's called the Spectrum Center.
Basketball court.
Yeah. I don't really know. The basketball facility at which they play basketball. It's super weird watching people, like, smash alcohol at like 12:30 in the afternoon.
You don't do that every day.
No, I'm like, man, it's 12:30 in the afternoon. Like, it was just weird. But it's a great day. Shout out to my Spartans. Tom Izzo, if you're watching this, can you hook me and my dad up with sideline tickets? Or I guess they're not even sideline tickets, because that's football. This would be what is it?
Floor seats
or court, like courtside. Hook us up with courtside. Yeah, I'm not a big basketball guy. If you haven't, I'm not a big basketball.
I'm more of a Bible guy.
I'm more of a Bible guy, more of a football guy. But you know, if you're watching this when it comes out next week, even though the tournament already happened, hook us up with courtside tickets. Thanks, Tom. And all that, you know what it took for us to go to that basketball game today?
What?
It made us cost money to go there. You like that transition?
No, but it keep going.
That was quality. Because today we're talking about money, right?
Tithing.
So money, tithing, specifically, I don't know. So where are we at with it? Tithing.
What
money.
Is it?
What is tithing? Like just what
definition.
The word is? The definition of the word tithe means a tenth.
Where does it come from?
Biblically or just in general, like the definition?
Both.
Biblically, it came from the Old Testament. It was an Old Testament law to where people would bring their tithe or their 10% of the more of the crops, more of a sharecrop thing, to the local storehouse or the local tabernacle. And that was just a law. So it's like, hey, God brought you these crops, this upbringing. So out of reverence of that or honor of that, you're giving back to him. You're bringing a tenth of that or a tithe back to him. This is Malachi. Chapter 3, verses 6 through 11 talks about testing God with this, refers to robbing from God. So in the Old Testament, if you did not bring your tenth to the storehouse, it was referred to as robbing from God, something that was already his and not giving it back to him.
Is it still seemed like that, like to this day? Are we robbing God by not tithing?
Are we robbing God by not tithing? That... Right, because then you're taking a cultural question with what the Bible actually speaks to. So culturally, yes, you could be robbing from God, but New Testament now, there's a lot more freedom there to interpret that with how one person would interpret that.
So with tithing, obviously you're giving to the church. When did it become, like you said, you were tithing with fruits and produce and things like that. Where was that switch to when now it's money, obviously, dollars?
I have no idea. Whenever they had
it. Yeah.
I don't know if there was the exact date when a coin was starting to circulate or whatever.
Yeah.
Logically speaking, it'd just be whenever they would start to value money as a way to do life, right?
Crops back then it was like trade,
That was the way you did life. Like that's how you survived. You planted your food, you ate it, and that was what was valuable to you as a resource.
Yeah.
So whenever it went from food to money as a valuable resource for means to survive, the New Testament now backs us up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians, I believe 6 or 9. Let me look at my Bible to double check. Yeah, I was right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul talks about giving generously. To where New Testament, there's no command to tithe in the New Testament, which is kind of like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. I think because if you grew up in church a lot, or around pastors or in the church world, then you, it was just a routine, right? It was just something that nobody kind of second guessed. Nobody asked questions. It was just, hey, you go to church, bring whatever cash you got in your pocket and let's roll. But then the New Testament, I'm sorry, I got to get the, I want to make sure I give you guys the right verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Dyslexic. I got the 9 and 6 backed up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Just to fact check that. It talks about being a cheerful giver, and it says this specifically. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly, to where if you give sparingly or a little bit, will also reap sparingly. Mm-hmm. Means if you put in a little will come out. And whoever sows bountifully or generously will also reap generously. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So there is a, they're now New Testament wise with tithing. The scripture speaks more of the person deciding within their spark between, in their heart, between them and God on what that looks like.
Yeah.
And then we just take that and follow along with what has been is kind of what will be. If Old Testament, the whole counsel of the Bible, Old Testament speaks to a tenth or a tithe. That's just the means we kind of use today. Like, hey, have you tithe? Have you gave your tenth? Mm-hmm. And that percentage. So the New Testament never says, hey, you must give a tithe or a 10%. It says you must give generously. Give generously with what you have decided in your heart between you and God, yeah, with what you have discerned, whether that's 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever it may be.
So I guess now, like, what if someone doesn't belong to a church? Mm-hmm. Like, should they still find a church to tithe to? Should they find, like, a missionary to give to?
This is where we've gone off course.
Yeah, belong to a church.
Yeah, belong to a church. Be a church member. Tithe to your local church. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's good to give to charities. Yes, it's good to give to nonprofits, but don't let that substitute your tithing to the local church. If you look back Old Testament, they were bringing their stuff to the local storehouse, the local tabernacle for the people in that community. And I think we get off course of thinking, man, because I've donated to this nonprofit or the mm-hmm. charity, which is amazing. Not trying to downplay that, but don't let that substitute giving to the local church. Because there's a lot of stuff logistically behind the scenes that your local church does that may be already supporting those charities with you not even knowing it. But biblically, it would say point to become a church member. Yeah. We believe in church membership and then give to your local church. Now, if you have questions about how your local church handles their finances, I know that's a very touchy subject with churches and finance and how people perceive how churches manage their finances. If you have questions, always go to your local church and just ask, like, hey, so what does this money go to exactly? Like, help me track this this $100 I just gave. Help me track where that $100 just went to. Like, what was it for? And never hesitate to ask those questions. And any, I would say, church with integrity would be welcoming those questions to sit down and talk. They may not show you, you know, every single...
Open the books.
They may not show you everything to that would... put other people on blast, like, mm-hmm. hey, Susie gave this much and it went to there. Like, they, with integrity, but they would be able to answer those questions with financial transparency. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is where a portion of this goes to this missions, a portion of this goes to operations, a portion of this goes to facilities, whatever it may be. And they should be able to answer those questions for sure.
So with, like, giving 10%, I mean, we brought this up before, is like, do you give 10% your gross income or, like, the net income, like, after or
pre-tax
before?
Pre-tax or post-tax?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Biblically, doesn't matter. Yeah. Right? I know that's the...
So pick one.
Yeah, seriously, pick one. If you have to do gymnastics to hurdle over that question of like, yeah. or... But then it goes back to the discerning with your spirit, mm-hmm. right? If you tithe pre-tax, mm-hmm. like just for money purposes, if you take home $1,000 a month, and that's in your checking account, but you really, you got paid $1,100 and 100 of it was taxes. So you tithe the $1,100 and a 10% of that would be $110. So if you tithe $110, but in your heart, you're like, man, discerning within your heart, right? Giving generously, like, man, I think I really should start doing 12% and tithe, you know, 120. Or, you know, I think I can be content with just doing the my take-home, just tithing the, yeah. the 1,000. Now, if you just tithe the take-home,
yeah,
and in that you're like, man, I really feel like I'm robbing from God. Going back to what Malachi says, I'm robbing from God. I should tithe my pre-tax income, whatever it is within you and your spirit. But God's not looking at you like, oh, you goober, why'd you tithe pre-tax? Like, what are you doing? Right? But developing that heart of a generous giver, right? Yeah. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So that's kind of pushes the ball back to the individual of, hey, within you and your spirit, pre-tax, post-tax, God's looking at where's your heart at with what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to that, though, and you're doing your budgeting and things like that, say that you do your bills, but you're taking into consideration this 10%, mm-hmm. and you're like negative $40.
Yeah. Is this where it gets dicey, right?
It's like the check bounces to the church. That's not good.
I'll share a personal testimony, right? Graduated high school 2018, super broke. Maybe had like $2 in my checking account, but still had a lot of like practical payments, car mm-hmm. payment, gas, car insurance, food, just whatever you do when you're 18, 19, you have to pay for. And I did not have a 9-to-5 job right after high school. Didn't have a big boy adult job with adult money, if you will. So I remember for like a good 2-year stretch, I would make wooden tables. Like I would go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and then just buy a bunch of pieces of wood and put it together to build a table, then sell it on like Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. And that became my income. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to do ministry, which is why I chose to do that is because it gave me the flexibility to serve in the church, to do ministry, because it wasn't, hey, you got to clock in, clock out. I could just build tables at whenever I wanted. I could stay up till 3 a.m. in the garage building a table, which would give me the flexibility to serve the church, to do ministry. And I wrestled with that for about 2 years of should I tithe, should I not tithe? But then I was really convicted that I should do it, especially one that works at a church. And I was spending money
yeah.
that people donate, right, with our budget, our young adult budget. Everything we purchase, somebody donated money for us to purchase that. My paycheck, somebody donated money and gave to the mission of what we're doing and believed in it enough so I could have a paycheck. So I felt, when I was 18, 19, personally felt convicted to mm-hmm. now join in on that. And I say all that to say that I remember so many times I would have like a credit card a bill coming up on Friday. I'm looking at my bank account on Wednesday and I'm like, man, I got $5 in here and I got to make this $45 minimum payment. Like, God, you wanted me to build tables for you and do this so I could serve the church. Like, I need a job. Should I stop doing the tables and get a job? And I kid you not, the moment I started tithing, stuff just magically fell into place, like miraculously fell into place. Like, I would have an empty gas tank with $2 in the bank account and, you know, $400 worth of payments coming up next week. And after I already tithed, so I would tithe, you know, whatever that 10% was from a table, $70, yeah. $80. And then I'd be rolling with like $4 in my bank account, having peace, knowing, okay, God, I tithe. I did that with you first. Then just out of nowhere for 2 years straight, that moment would come, like clutch time would come, like, all right, God, this bill's coming up. How are we paying for this? Somebody would call me or I would get a text from like our Facebook Messenger, like, hey, Josh, we'd love for you to build a custom table. We'll pay you $500 and we'll give you the money right now up front. And that was like a consistent theme for 2 years.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, God, like you're always coming through. Like mathematically speaking, we get caught up with the numbers of looking at our budget, right? Of, okay, no way I can tithe this 10%, 100, 200, 300, whatever it is. When I got the water bill, gas bill, car insurance, got to pay for my sister's food, whatever. But Malachi says like, test God in this way. Like mm-hmm. Malachi 3, read that and let it convict you. Like God says, look, let me show you who I am. Like, surrender it to me and watch him do what he does. And just, I don't really know how to explain it, but just in that 2 years, stuff yeah. miraculously fell into place.
And going off of the heart thing, just like a comment is like, you go to church.
Say a communist?
I said a comment.
Oh, I thought you said a oh heart
my.
Communist.
No, like oh my going gosh. Off of the heart thing, a comment is just like when you go to church and you go to like just your body of Christ, like you're being filled mm-hmm. with the spirit and with love and with care from your church. And it's like, then you're leaving their cup. Not empty, but it's like yeah. you should be giving back. Like they have given you so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like you should be giving back.
And that's the heart posture of church membership.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I'm joining this church. I'm a part of it. I'm not mm-hmm. going any longer on a Sunday morning to take what they could give me.
Yeah.
To take the preaching, take the worship, take the community. But now I'm flipping the script of now, how can I see this church go forth? How can I serve here? How can I be a part of the vision? How can I give to the missions? And now I am owning a piece of this church, advancing the kingdom. And a practical way is that is tithing.
Yeah. It was like the reel that I showed you the other day. I love it so much. It was just a pastor, and he asked the body to like give him really expensive car keys. And then he asked somebody for like $100, and they easily like walked up and they handed it to him. And he was like, why was it so easy for them to hand it to him? Because I gave it to them before service. Same thing with like, we have to come to that realization that God gave us these staple jobs or like this money, and it's not ours. And like, so for us to just harbor that and be like, well, I might not give or I might give, I think just comes from a place of like the heart of like, who do you think really has control here?
Yeah.
And if you think it's yours and you think it's not his, like check yourself a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
But the question then poses though, like if you can't tithe, would it be acceptable
what
then
do you mean, if you can't tithe?
The negative $4 in your bank account. Like during that time, like you didn't have the money to be able to tithe, but you served in ministry. Mm-hmm. So would that be plausible to be able to like, I can't tithe, but what I'm going to do is serve.
Mm-mm. You tithe what you could. Man, the widow's offering, the parable with the widow's offering, right? Jesus gives this beautiful example of, hey, what's, he asks his followers, which example did God approve of the most? There was this guy, gave a lot of money, then this widow who only gave like a penny. And he was like, but the penny is all the widow had. And the dude who gave a lot of money was loaded with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody on the outside would say, man, this dude just donated $1,000. This girl only gave like a penny. Like, what is she doing? That's chump change. But then God's like, yeah, but a penny is all that she had. He had $1 million. Yeah. She gave all that she had. So I think us with tithing, man, even if it's $2, you give your best $2. And I say that.
Nice and crisp, ironed out.
I say that seriously, not sarcastically. Like seriously, if all you can give to your local church is a dollar, roll into that with no shame and say, God, look, it's either this or the pack of ramen noodles for me to eat tonight. And I'm going to give you my best $2. I'm going to give you my best widow's offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the practical aspect of this, you can go in with the heart posture of, God, look, I'm surrendering this to you, generous giver, 100%, and still the bank account equals zero, right? It's not we just did the episode on the prosperity gospel, right?
Connects.
I would encourage you guys to rewatch this. Just because you tithe does not mean it's going to turn to automatic cash flow blessings, right? Just because you give 10% does not mean you're about to wake up the next day with a briefcase of $1,000 of cash sitting on your front porch. Like, that's, I don't want you to get misled in that way. You can have the heart posture of giving generously to God and still have the bank account equal zero. And I will just say personally for me, ever since I started tithing 5-6 years ago, even there are so many days where I know I'm not trying to martyr myself. I know people, in comparison to the world, I'm rich. Comparison to the world, like I'm able to have food on the table, roof over my head, a car to drive. Like in comparison to the world, I am rich. But there are days where it's like, I got $3 in the bank account and I got to pay for this tank of gas. And I got to do this or I do that. Or I got to pay to go on a date and I got $2. Like, how are we going to do this? But ever since I started tithing, I've had so much peace over my finances that it just doesn't stress out. Like, I think we like to stress out so much over our finances. Like, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to afford this? How is this going to get budgeted in? How are we going to do that? How are we going to do this? And there's so much stress that occurs.
Yeah.
And I had that stress. But ever since I started tithing, now I still have a budget and control.
Yeah.
But ever since I started tithing, there was so much peace and knowing that, you know, whatever happens, this life is going to continue to move on. The world is going to continue to spin. And God's in control. Like, I gave my first fruits to him. I gave the 10% to him before I spend it anywhere else. And so that means when I get stressed out about where the anywhere else is getting spent, I know I honored him first, and there's so much peace that comes with that.
Yeah, that's like the honoring first, or like before you even pay for stuff. I remember a couple of years ago, like I still tithe, but I was feeling convicted in a way of like I should be giving more, but then I'm like, what more can I give? And then I like checked myself of like, you get your eyelashes done every 2 weeks, like you get your nails done. And so I started doing it myself.
Yep.
But then like you find the things in your budget, I feel like, to where you can lower that area. Mm-hmm. So then you can give more. And I think that comes from like a heart check of like, you're giving this much, not just to yourself, but like you're not giving the first.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you would say like when you're doing like your accounts or you're doing your bills and things like that, you would factor in.
Yep.
That 10%.
Yeah, it goes first.
Yeah.
Bring your first fruits to the storehouse. And one aspect about with tithing, that it is for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for God's benefit.
Yeah.
Like, tithing is for us. Like, for us to see God move in really practical ways. Like, God is infinite. Like, it's not for his benefit.
Yeah.
Now, it may benefit the local mission of the church because you're giving resources for that to go forth. But it's not for the benefit of God. It's for the benefit of us to watch God move in supernatural ways.
Mm-hmm.
To strengthen our faith in that aspect as well.
And so, I mean, Young Adults Podcast, Young Adults, it's a rough life. Some of us are broke, in debt. Yeah. If you're in debt, like mm-hmm. majorly in debt, yep. are you still holding true to that 10% and then the rest to that debt? Or is there ever a time to maybe lower or pause that mm-hmm. tithing
yep.
to get back on the feet or to lower debt? Yeah.
So I'm going to switch over. This is my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. This is no longer what the Bible speaks to, where it's just a
disclaimer. An idea.
This is disclaimer. This is Josh's opinion
mm-hmm.
that if you are in debt, I would still recommend keeping tithing first.
Yeah.
And I know mathematically that does not equal up. I'm not worried about your mathematical numbers right now. I'm worried about your spiritual growth,
yeah.
right? To where, like, hey, I got a lot of debt. I'm trying to do this. Okay, God, help me find ways to pay off this debt. I'm going to start first by giving this to you and watch what you do for it. This 10%.
It's bold.
And I know it's bold. And there's mm-hmm. And I would just say that over broad, like big yeah. umbrella. I don't know every specific detail, everybody's specific situation. But I would say those are the moments where it's super easy to pull back the lever to say, all right, God, you know, I got you know, 20K in student loans. Like, I got to pay this stuff off first.
Mm-hmm.
I would still give generously. I would still watch God do what he does in those moments where it's just a little bit harder to step away. But that's just my personal opinion
mm-hmm.
to do that.
So what would be like a good wrap up, three takeaways of everything of like tithing as a young adult?
Tithing as a young adult, three takeaways: become a church member, give to that local church, and watch God move. Those are my three takeaways. in all seriousness, young adults, stop church hopping and just go to one that has the best worship or the best speaking. Find one that is a Bible-believing church, become a member there,
mm-hmm.
and then start giving to that local church, your local storehouse. To young adults, tithing, do it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to say, whether if you get paid monthly and you want to do it monthly, if you want to do it bi-weekly, if you want to do it weekly, however practically you want to set that up,
mm-hmm.
but do it and mm-hmm. watch God move, right? Out of faith, do it for your own personal benefit.
Yeah. And I feel like for the people, again, like realizing it's not yours. It was mm-hmm. gifted to you because a good father likes to do good.
And that's the idea gifts. With the crops in the storehouse where yeah. it first originated, right? God, you were the one who brought the rain for these crops to grow. God, you were the one who brought this job for me to take home money. Now, whether I agree with that statement or not
mm-hmm.
does not neglect the fact that it's true.
Yeah.
Like, God, in your sovereignty, you allowed me to have this job to take home this paycheck. In your sovereignty, you allowed this rain to come to grow these crops so we could eat. So in response to that, I'm now going to give you back 10% of what is yours for the benefit of the group, the community, the local church.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. Young adults and tithing, recommend that you do it to a local church. And then if you have questions, man, if you are suspect of how the church is spending their money and where it goes to, I would recommend asking whoever runs the HR, the finance department, set up a meeting to say, hey, look, I'm skeptical. I just have some questions. Mm-hmm. Can you give me clarity on this? They may not give you all the specific black book of their church and details, but I'm sure any honoring church that encourages people to tithe would be able to answer those questions with financial transparency, for mm-hmm. sure.
I think that's good. And then just check your heart. Check your heart. Check your budget.
Check your heart. Check your budget. Let's go. And I know. I can really. I really know that it's. I mean, even right now, man, you got $15 in your bank account. Like, as a young adult, I get it. I really do get it, but don't let the fact of the stresses of reality and the stresses of payment stop what God wants you to do. God wants to do through you and
yeah.
what you're able to do.
Don't forget the miracles that he is mm-hmm. able to make.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
That is insane. Well, that is good.
That's good stuff. Shout out. So if you're a young adult, start tithing. Shout out to your March Madness brackets. If anybody's out there's bracket is still surviving.
You can win money off of it and then tithe. Wait, do you tithe betting money?
That's a good question, right?
If you win money from sport betting, do you tithe?
Do you or should you tithe other income outside of your normal paycheck? I was waiting for you to
ask. If it's an abundance, yes.
I would, to answer that question of should you tithe income
your
that
March
comes,
Madness, but
I win the March Madness bracket, my $10 entry fee. Should you tithe other income outside of your normal paycheck? If we're on the Jeopardy music.
Boo, boo, doo, doo, boo, boo, doo.
Boo. Yes and no. I would say the only room for no there is if you can have a clean conscience, discerning in your heart. Mm-hmm. You can have a clean conscience. Like, birthday is a great example. Or Christmas. Like, hey, Christmas just came around. I got some Christmas money. If you in your heart can discern, like, hey, it's okay. Like, I'm not going to. God gave me and blessed me with this money for Christmas, and I got this Christmas cash to go buy some shoes. And you can discern in your heart to not tithe from that Christmas money, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a normality thing to where there's consistency, go back to crops growing. If there's a normality there, to where each week you're getting Christmas money, each month you're getting Christmas money, whatever that normality or consistency may look like, then I would err to the side of caution and say, yeah, it's probably wise to tithe that. There's some consistency developing with how it's coming in.
So if you're doing Prize Picks every year?
If you're doing Prize Picks every year, I would highly recommend tithing that money. But also going back to, I don't want to sound legalistic, right? Going back to what can you discern in your heart to either sow sparingly or sow bountifully, to reap sparingly and reap bountifully. So whatever you can discern in your heart to give. Knowing that God is a God of grace and love, and that the New Testament, right, Old Testament, the law was you have to give 10%. That was the law. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, all in two commandments, right? Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He summed up all those laws in those two things. And the New Testament that God now fulfilled through Jesus no longer speaks to thou shalt must tithe 10%. It is, hey, look, in your heart, if you want to discern this, this is the outcome of what will take place. If you reap sparingly, you will sow sparingly. If you reap bountifully, you will sow bountifully. And that God is looking for a generous giver. God is looking for people to give generously, to move in mighty, mighty ways, for sure.
Mic drop.
Cheers to that. Well, appreciate you guys hopping on for another episode. We are closing in on 50 episodes of our Stranded podcast. Yeah, we're not the Three Strand podcast anymore. We're Stranded, which means if you're a young adult, we don't want you to be stranded, which is why you should tune into this to navigate life in a biblical way. Appreciate you guys being on here, and we'll catch you next week. Welcome to the Stranded Podcast. Our desire is to help you not be stranded. When you navigate life, you have many decisions you need to make to set yourself up for the best life possible. We want to help you make every decision by looking through the lens of the Word of God. So each episode here is going to help you not be stranded to navigate your life.